Hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Sure IDC podcast, the show about anything and everything. This is Lucas, and let's see what topics we can get into today. We talk about movies, songs, video games, board games, food, books, personality traits, animals, history, anything and everything you can think of. So sit back, relax, because we're just here to have a good time. The game that has everything. Story, drama, magic, excitement, monsters, fighting, and evilness? That is right. You know it. We all know that game. I am talking about Dungeons and Dragons. Yes, this episode is where we dive deep into D&D. We're going to discuss the game itself and the time and the effort that goes into it. And then we're going to talk about the sketchy and strange past that the game has had in society. But yet, you have no idea who we is. Today, I have on the show with me Blake. And no, not that Blake, but another Blake, a new guest on the podcast, and that is my friend, Blake. How you doing today?
Hey, Lucas. What's going on?
Oh, I was just here chilling.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Glad I could pop in for a little bit.
Yes. Makes me happy. Yes, well, I'm happy that you're finally here. We've been talking about having you on the show for a while now, so it's nice that you're finally here.
I know. I'm ready. I've been prepping. It took so long because I've been mentally preparing for this moment.
Oh, mentally preparing? Like you've had mentally. To like get into the zone?
Yeah, I had to take months and months of prep time to really get into my method acting. So.
Well, you know, the funny part is I used to get like, when I first started the show, I was like, okay, I have to like be into it. I have to get it, you know. And now I'm all like three seasons in. I'm all like, yeah, so what do you want to talk about?
just say some words and I'll be here.
Let's let the guests decide what you want to talk about, because I get to honestly talk about anything, which I guess was the point of this podcast. But anyway, so D&D, you are into D&D, I guess, would you say?
I do. I would say that I am. I dabble in the arts of D&D. I'm no person that obsesses over it daily, but I love it. It's a great time. I've been playing for 5 or 6 years now, and I don't know. It's just a nice side hobby. You know, it's good. Gets the creative juices flowing, and I am not a creative person, so it's nice to have something to tick that muscle.
I want to say, I mean, you did theater a lot. And when I said you did theater a lot, I mean you were forced to do theater a lot in college. Say,
you were there for that experience. It wasn't so much a choice as it was reluctantly thrust upon me, and I so graciously accepted. But I'm glad I did. It was a great time.
Well, I thought you did very good. I know you were shy about it and everything, but I thought you were a pristine actor, so.
Yeah, I mean, the only acting I had ever done before that was The Haunted House, where I got to keep my face covered, so it was a little different going exposed as I was. I didn't know how to.
Yeah, that is true. That. You were exposed on stage a lot. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you that is a, I guess that's a good point. Is you say you're not a creative person, but yet you acted just fine, and you obviously like D&D, which causes a lot of creativity. I mean, that involves a lot of creativity in the game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it may sound weird, but I spent the last 6 years as a salesman, and honestly, you can't pick a better game than D&D if you're going to be a salesman, because it requires you to be constantly prepared to ad-lib and make-believe and say whatever comes to your mind in a tactical and fun way. So,
well, I think that that you are very good at acting then.
I do.
I think you missed your calling. I think you missed your calling.
Did I? Blake. It's not too late. We'll pack up. We'll move out to LA right now.
No, I'm okay. Thank you, though.
We'll be back in the next 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I'd last 6 months out in California. I think I'd last like 2 days, and I'd be like, yeah, this isn't as fun. I want to go back. I mean, people who live here don't even want to be here anymore. So
What? Completely understand. One of my friends moved out there for about 2 months, and he's like, I'll be back in June.
Oh my gosh. Well, so, I mean, we're already on a like a rabbit hole, so we might as well continue this rabbit hole. But it was the end of 2019, beginning of 2020. I was all like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna move out to LA, and I'm gonna try to figure out, you know, getting into the film industry and acting and, you know, try to audition for stuff and TV shows, like extras and stuff. And then March, of course, COVID happened. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm glad I didn't do that. And then I was all like, you know, and then ever since then, I'm just like, no, I'm okay. I'm fine here. So
do you think it was a sign? Do you think COVID was single-handedly your fault to get you from
whoa. I don't know about fault. But it definitely might have been a sign that was like, whoa, don't want to do that. But yeah, it's a weird side note there. D&D, you are obviously into it a lot. You said you've been playing for how long? I'm sorry, I kind of got sidetracked.
5 or 6 years now. I moved to St. Louis pretty soon after we graduated college, and I picked up a game with a couple of friends. And then when I moved back, I stopped playing. And same story, COVID was, it was getting to me, not being able to go out, do anything, cooped up. I lived in a studio apartment, so I made the bold decision to get online and start perusing through the Facebook groups and see what was out there. And it took like 6 months before I found a group of people that I actually wanted to play games with, I guess. I don't, it's, there's a mixed bag of people that I'm sure everybody knows is a big stigma behind Dungeons and Dragons, and I was a little choosy, but I found a really good group, and I've been with the same guys for 3 years now. So we actually just started a new campaign 2 weeks ago, which is good times.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, you tried different groups of people. You weren't just like, you weren't like, oh, this group doesn't play well, I'm not never gonna play again. Like, you were almost like auditioning groups.
I did. I didn't message any of them, but I was secretly stalking groups. So I was doing the thing where, like, you'd get in there, they'd be like, hey, we three play. And then you'd be like, okay. And then you'd check out their Facebook, see their posts. You'd see, like, a nice, like, you see some good racial slurs on one of their Facebook posts. And then you'd be like, that's not the group for me. Usually that, if somebody ever had a profile picture that wasn't their face and was some type of character, I'd usually mark them off pretty quick too. I don't like to judge people, but also, you know, if I'm going over to a stranger's house to play a game 3 days a week, you know, practice safe dungeoning.
Yeah. Practice safe dungeoning and Facebooking.
And Facebook.
yeah. Like, you send me money? No. Hey, I have a Dungeons and Dragons group. You can send me $20. Use PayPal. No, thank you. I'm good.
That's okay.
Well, that is cool. So, that actually is really cool, because I've always wanted to play. You know, I think there was a point in time when you were like, hey, do you want to come play? And I was like, yeah, I would love to just at least get my feet wet. You know, just get a little taste of what it's like. And you were like, no, if you're going to do this, you're going to commit. And I was like,
that is, that is unfortunately the one issue with it, is if you commit to a group of people, it does become a commitment. I'm a little bit of a poser, because every single week I hope it gets canceled. Like, oh please. Oh please. And then it doesn't, and I go and I have a great time. But that's just the person that I am, that doesn't like to go out and do things.
Yeah.
Be around. But that's the allure of the game, is every time you go out, just dip your feet in a little bit, then it brings you back. I gotta see what happens next time. It's a continuing story, so if you miss a session, you miss part of the story, you know.
And that's not good. It's like your character was dead for a period of time.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, if it wasn't in Springfield and I didn't have to drive up there 30, you know, it was like 30-45 minutes 3 nights a week, then maybe. Yeah. But you know,
yeah,
but so it's what a little... yeah, so what is D&D? Can you define it, or like, what's your definition of it? Like, do you have like a definition of it?
Again, I am not ever going to claim to be an expert on anything I talk about. So
Me
take all
neither.
things, right? Take all things I say with a grain of salt. But Dungeons and Dragons, in my definition, is literally anything that you want it to be. It is so diverse and so it's so modulated that you can do any and everything that you want with it. There's homebrew rules galore, so even if you don't like the way it's played, you can mix and match to make your own game and play it that way. We've done our last campaign, we did Curse of Strahd, which is so Curse of Strahd is supposed to be this dark, eerie, like really push the limits of what people can stand when they get into role-playing games. There's child trafficking and there's
Oh gosh.
it's bad. It's really bad what they try and push through. I mean, in a good way, don't get me wrong. It's
Game itself.
the game itself is good. I
Yeah.
can't fix it now. I'm already down this hole. But the point of Curse of Strahd is that it's supposed to take an accumulation of all of horror and kind of put it into one game. And I've had friends who've played it before, gotten halfway through it, and been like, it's too much for us. We've got to drop out. We can't keep running this.
Really? That's interesting.
It's unique compared to the rest of the genre for
And
sure.
is this like a not you're on a roll, not to interrupt you, but is this
No, you're
like
good.
a was this like a certain book? Like, because I know there's D&D books out there. So is this like a certain book that kind of takes you through it and stuff like that, or is this just like okay, this is the bullet points of this particular game. You put it together how you want it, yada yada yada. I don't know if that made sense at all.
No, that made perfect sense. I should probably explain better, but I get stuck on rabbit holes and get to
Hey,
the micro details.
I
But no,
live
you're
for the rabbit holes, so
right. This is the perfect place for a rabbit
yeah, of
hole.
course.
So like I said, completely customizable. There's homemade modules, homebrew modules where you kind of create your own story, campaign, characters, all of that, and then there are pre-written stories, and Curse of Strahd is one of the pre-written stories from the actual, I don't know if it's the actual creators or if it's like a subgroup that created the module, but it is renowned in the community. Everybody that plays Dungeons and Dragons, even semi-seriously, should know what Curse of Strahd is because it is fairly common and it is run so often. It's the Black Swan. From my understanding, it's kind of the Black Swan of the D&D world. So,
Interesting.
I know you know me, nobody else knows me, but I have a hard time taking anything seriously at all. And fortunately, we got a nice group of guys to play with that did not take the game seriously either. So the main goal is you're trapped in, oh crap, I forgot, Barovia. It's this town called Barovia by Strahd. Strahd's the big bad evil guy, and you want to beat Strahd and get out of the town that you are trapped in, surrounded by a mystical fog, can't get out, no way in, no
Ooh.
way out. Type of situation. And so you beat Strahd, you get out, is the point of the game. We had troubles following that pattern. So instead, our group decided to name ourselves the Order of the Hot Boys. And in the first couple sessions, so you go through like this mini module first called Death House, and then you get out of Death House. And you can kind of explore as you go. Death House is there just to kind of set the tone for everything. We immediately ran into a girl who was abandoned by her mother named Gertruda, and one of our guys got into his head that Gertruda didn't care about her mother and only cared about. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was we found the mother, Gertruda was lost, and we decided that Gertruda ran away because she was looking for hot boys for her hot boy summer.
For
And
you
so,
guys.
yeah, so instead of like every time Strahd would show up, we'd be like, we'll come to you later. We gotta go find Gertruda. Hold on. And
Oh,
so he
that's
would just
funny.
get more upset and more offended. And so, yeah. So everything we did just revolved around finding this one side character that had
Oh my
nothing to
gosh.
do with anything about the story. So
That's kind of epic. I love that. I
it
mean,
was good.
the fact that you could just play the game and you're like, you know what? I don't want to go for the main villain. I'll just want to do this, focus on this little side quest thingy.
Yeah, and that's the best part about it is you can do anything you want. You don't have to be serious. I can't play a serious character and have a good time. The first character I rolled for it was a semi-serious character, and three sessions in, I was like, I'm done with this, got him killed off, and then re-rolled the most ridiculous character that I could come up with, which was really, really good times. But we have, since we, it was part of this Facebook group, we have people come and go all the times, We've got a pretty good group of five guys right now, but one guy decided to hop in for a couple sessions and just couldn't stand playing with us because we refused to
to
take
be serious?
It serious. Yeah,
oh
so
my gosh.
He sent us all a message. He's like, "This just really isn't what I was looking for, but thanks for the opportunity." And I felt bad, but
that was nice of him. I mean, at least he was understanding. Like, hey,
fine.
Yeah, you guys do you, and I'll do me at a different.
I'm gonna be over here though.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up characters and roles, which is interesting because you already kind of talked about it a little bit, but I'm guessing there is a list of characters for every game you have or every module you have or whatever, and then you roll for the characters? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think roll for characters is just jargon. Or lingo, as you will. So you don't, I mean, you can roll for their stats and certain things, but for the most part, you go from, you could do homebrew, but mostly you can do pre-made or pre-built selections. So there is like a base book that comes with it, and it's got everything. The player's handbook has all of the basics that you need to get started, and you go through. D&D Beyond makes it super easy. It takes you through step by step, and you choose each of the individual sections that you want. So first you have to pick your race. So the original races are all the stuff in common lore, like your
humans,
elves, your orcs, humans,
yeah.
halflings,
wizards.
All of those. Wizards, not a race, but a class. So then you go into classes.
Sorry.
And then you get to,
sorry.
Come on, get it right!
My man.
So then you go into your classes. So you've got like a rogue or a wizard or a warlock. And then when you hit a certain level, you get subclasses. So wizards have different schools. I've actually never played a wizard before, but you've got like school of divination or school of illusion. And then you specialize in that. You can either roll or do pre-made for your like starting ability scores, and then you pick a couple items to start with, and then you flesh out your character's story and background and personality and what they look like, and then you're ready to go. You're ready to start. You can, if you're doing like a pre-made like Curse of Strahd or a homebrew or something, build out all your characters in advance. I've only ever had that done once. It was the best campaign I've ever played in my life, but... Yeah, usually I like to make my own because I can't play somebody serious, and I was fortunate enough in that one to not get somebody serious. So,
okay, so you've already said several times you don't like playing someone serious, but like what is classified as serious? Like someone who's like BA and like hardcore, and you like to play like the Joker or something like that?
the serious guy is always like. Like your Aragorn or like your Han Solo or somebody who's like exactly like what you said. I'm the BA. I'm going to lead the party.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in there and make believe myself doing all these really cool and awesome things. Whereas when I play, like the last session that we did, so the one we're doing now is called Spelljammer, and it's more like space themed, more set in the different galaxies. I don't know a ton about it yet. We've only
That'd
done
be
a couple
cool.
sessions. But what I do know is there's catapults on your spaceships. So they're like galleons in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So the first session we got into, it started off in a fight. It was the whole crew versus a couple guys, and somehow I got stuck on a catapult by myself, which takes four turns to do. So just a brief description on that. Each person that goes in a round, a turn is 6 seconds long. So if ability says that it lasts for a minute, then it lasts for 6 seconds, or it lasts for 10 6-second rounds, right? So even though it takes forever for 13 people to describe what they're doing, but in all actuality, it's supposed to all happen at the same time. So it's supposed to be 6-second increments, and then 10 rounds something would wear off. So it takes 4 rounds to load and shoot a catapult, which is a colossal waste of time. So what I decided to do was take one of the guys that was attacking the ship, knock him down, tie him up by his hands, drop the catapult arm, put him into the catapult, and then launch him at a different ship that was off on the side. Yeah, it was great. And it's all roll based, right? So the lower you roll, the less likely something is to happen. The higher you roll, the more likely it is to happen. I couldn't be stopped. It was unstopped. Every single turn was like 16 and above, which is unreal. So it was meant to happen. And it was the last guy left on the last turn, and I launched it at one of the enemy galleons, and it blew a hole in it, and they went like careening off to the side. We were the heroes. Great. It's great times. I'll never forget. Gosh. Never forget the time I shot somebody out of a catapult.
Oh my gosh. That sounds super intense. Now, is this, so you're not a, what do they call them? A dungeon master person.
No, I much like I don't play serious characters, I don't take the game in its entirety that seriously. There's podcasts, there's Dan Harmon does his own, there's Matt Mercer, everybody's heard of, college dropout guys have their own. And the guys I play with watch every podcast, every video, and I don't know. It's for the same reason I can't watch people play video games. I get too antsy. If I'm watching someone play Rocket League, I'm like, I want to go play Rocket League. Why am I watching them
play the game? Yeah.
When I could experience the game. So I can't watch people play Dungeons and Dragons because I'm like, oh, you know what would have been amazing to do there? And then I get really
and
upset.
You didn't do it because you're the BA and not the Joker.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, but the Dungeon Master, they're the ones that, do they make up all that stuff on the spot in some scenarios, or do they actually have like a game plan of what actually happens? Like for instance, your catapult situation, like they didn't know that you were going to do that. So like, did they have to make that all up as it went?
It just depends on what's going on. I've played three. I've had two real DMs, and we've played three serious campaigns between the two of them. The first guy is a lawyer, really good at BSing everything. So all that he did, he would make up on the spot. The issue with that is if a boss was too easy, he was so creative that the boss was too easy. So now this boss has three different phases. And by the time it's done, everybody's dead and nobody had a good time. It's fun to play because it makes it a little more difficult. But like Curse of Strahd, everything is pre-written out. The only difficulty with that is since it's all pre-written out, you kind of got to follow a pattern a little bit. So if you don't remember or don't know or didn't study up enough and your players kind of go a different direction, then you have to look up what's going on and be like, oh, okay, hold on. And then there's kind of a lull in the game. The one we're doing right now is a pre-built galaxy-esque area, so a lot of the stuff is pre-built, but he's following his own story in a pre-built universe, so
it's kind of like makes it a Star Wars.
Exactly like Star Wars. There's a Star Wars Dungeons and Dragons too.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I want to play it.
I think we weren't very good friends yet, but we'd played a couple times with Jesse Easden and Caleb.
Nice.
And a couple other people. It was good times. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So last question on the Dungeon Master. So not every time every time you play, there doesn't always have to be a Dungeon Master. Just
every
if you
time.
Want to do.
Gotta
it has to be. Okay.
To be
I didn't know if it was like only for the major campaigns. Or if like you could I guess it's not a very group oriented thing where you can't have a dungeon master and everyone just agrees on what happens.
Yeah, because the dungeon master's job is to create the story and put up the landscape and the details and really sediment you in the world of imagination with their descriptions. So without the Dungeon Master, it would just be a group of people making things up as they go along, including settings, NPCs, all of that, which I don't know. That might be a good time. I've never tried it. But.
Did you ever play Werewolf with us?
I never played with you guys, but I did play quite a bit of Werewolf.
Gosh, all the theater kids and everything, like, we were hardcore. Like, it was almost very D&D-esque. Not really, but it was, kind of. But, like, we went hard on Werewolf. Like, it was, you should have played with us at one point in time. It was so much fun. But
I bet. Oh, I bet everyone got into the roles.
They did. And, you know, and it's just, it was just the point where, you know, we couldn't play games with each other anymore. For instance, like Madeline and Jonathan Kirkland, everything, who's been on the show, props to him. We just came to the point where we just couldn't play games together because we held on to so much like grudges from the last game. And then we could like tell each other's tells. And so, or we just not even tell each other's tells, but like we didn't trust each other. And so even if we were not a werewolf, we'd be all like, they're a werewolf. I don't trust him. So
yeah. But have you played Coup before?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. We played Coup 2 weekends ago. One of our guys couldn't make it. He's going through, what's it called when you become Catholic? I don't remember. You know the words for that? NAIC? He's becoming Catholic so he can get married.
Nice.
So he had to skip out on a session. So we're like, whatever. We'll just get together, 3 or 4 of us, and play Coup instead. And I play with the nicest, best guys you've ever met in your entire life. So much so that they just couldn't lie about who they were or what they had. And there was one point in time where, I don't know if you remember how to play Coup, but every single turn I did a different ability. So I would steal, and then I would draw 3, and then I would assassinate, and they just kept letting me do it.
Oh my gosh. You're like, that's the thing. You got to be competitive with these types of games.
I know.
You can't just let someone do something.
Right.
That's it has attack, so.
It's gotten to the point, though, where our DM has been playing with all of us so long now that he knows my play style. Mm. And so he kind of sets environments up to be a little more specific to that.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
I'm playing a race right now called they're called GIFs. It's GIFF. Mm-hmm. And in the description of them, it talks about the controversy between how the name is said. Is it GIF or is it JIF?
Yeah.
Which is gold. And they're supposed to be these like BA elephant, like British army commanders. And so I took my, or not elephant, hippopotamus army commanders.
Oh,
so
because that's better.
Yeah, it's so much better. There's
that is all confusing.
There's an elephant race already. It's fine. What are they called? The Loxodon are the elephants. But I play a GIF who's supposed to be really sophisticated. So I made him from the bayous of Louisiana. And it's a planet based off Louisiana, please. I'm not that unoriginal. but he is the chef on the ship. And so every time we go into a town or something, he's just looking for like where he can go cook or pick up new recipes or do whatever. So while everybody else is playing, like, let's get all of the loot and fight the bad guys, my character's like, where can I learn how to make a I learned how to make Stardust sourdough bread in the last campaign or the last session that we ran. It's the most fun I've ever had in my life.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. I bet everyone just loves playing with you. It's like, hey, can you attack this guy? No. I'm making my bread here, thank you.
That's how it went with the catapult. They were all like, his name is Po' Boy. Where's Po' Boy at? What's he doing? Meanwhile, I'm off. They're like, Po' Boy, come help us. I'm like,
You're like, I'm gonna second. Help. I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna send someone over. Okay.
I got things to
do. So okay. So what are the parameters to the game? Of course, I feel like, you know, this game is very diverse and it's very, you know, you can do whatever you want to, but you know, the parameters, like, is there a usual time limit? I mean, we've already kind of talked about certain story focuses, and there's, you know, stories that are actually pre-created so that people could just pick it up and play it with the steps and everything. But is there even, like, a player limit? You know, is it good to have only, I mean, I guess it depends on the story, but is it good to have three people, or is it good, like, can D&D be played with 10 people?
Yeah, that's, I mean, go back to my definition, man. It is exactly what I said. It is whatever you want it to be. I'm sure you could play with 100 people. Would that be very entertaining or conducive? Probably not, because you'd have 100 people trying to yell over each other. But our sweet spot is about, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. We just added a new guy. So there was 3 of us, and 3, for what we were doing, felt a little light. So there's 4 players and 1 DM now, and that seems to be kind of the sweet spot for what we're doing. And in the games I've played in the past, that also feels like the sweet spot. So if you have too many people, especially for like homebrew modules, if you have too many people, then things get really chaotic, and then the DM's got to be faster on his feet, and it brings things down a little bit. When we played Curse of Strahd, we were having troubles keeping people. There was school and moving and all sorts of other stuff. So there was really only 2 of us for some sessions. And Strahd is designed to be hard. It's not supposed to be an easy thing. And when you only have 2 people, you kind of get trounced on a little bit. So it doesn't matter if you're fighting him with 2 people or you're fighting him with 6 people, he's the same guy. So with 2 people, it's
yeah,
a lot. I mean, you can obviously adjust, throw in more like mini bosses and things like that, but
yeah.
Then as far as session lengths go, we play about 3 hours every Tuesday night. It took us a year and a half to get through all of Curse of Strahd. But there's anything from one shots that you just play in 1 sitting, 2 sittings if it goes long, to games that I've heard have gone on for 5, 10, 15 years of people that have played the same character that whole time. So
15 it's kind years?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's up to you, whatever you want to do. Like I said, there's absolutely no limits. It's the ultimate game for creativity and just really flexing that muscle a little bit. So
playing the same character for 15 years.
For 15 years. I wonder if there's like what's the longest someone has played?
That's what I was gonna ask. I was like, what's the longest D&D game, and then like what is the largest D&D game, because they have to have like a tournament, right? Do they have D&D tournaments, or is it
that's
not
a great
tournament based?
So they don't, to my knowledge, they don't really have tournaments, but they do a ton of like Comic-Con based events across the country where they do like sit-in campaigns that you could sign up for, whether you want to be a DM or whether you want to be a player. The RDM goes to a lot of those. I haven't been to any because I'm not as serious about it as he is, but he played in one, and I wish I remembered more of the details about it. But the part I thought was the coolest is at the end of every session, if you go back the next year, they give you a card at the end of the session that gives you like a rare item or ability or something that you can only get had you played in that last one. So there's a bunch of unique combinations, which I think is awesome. I don't have the social capacity to want to go to a convention and play D&D with a bunch of strangers that I don't know. I feel like that would be a weird mix for me personally, but they love it. And if you're passionate about the game, then it's just a bunch of guys who are sitting around all being passionate about the same things.
Yeah.
This says, for 38 years, Dungeon Master has been continually playing D&D.
38 years.
It started with 4 players, and he's been continuing for 38 years, so...
Jeez.
Absolute insanity.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, there's gotta be one with like 50 players, and they're all like, you know, I wonder if you could have like different factions or stuff, like, you know, like 25 people are, or 10 people are all in a group, but there's 50 people, so there's 5 groups and they're all trying to get to this, you know, the same bad guy or something, and they all have different storylines. Do you think there would be 5 dungeon masters then, and they'd all have to be on the same page?
That seems like it would be a real real difficult thing to do. I mean, you remember the one time we had two directors. How well did that go for us?
That is true. That is true. But I feel like but I feel like it could be done. But maybe I've just maybe it's just because I've never played.
Yeah, I'm sure it could be done. The amount of time and energy that would go into that would be absolute insanity.
Well, they would be doing it 8 hours a day.
8 hours a day, nonstop. They would be prepping for it hours a day.
8 hours a day, you know, a full week, convention, you know. This is the D&D convention where you have to be there a week, and you're there at 7 a.m. and you leave at 7 p.m.
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
And then an hour for lunch.
1 hour. Make sure you're back by one or we're starting without you.
Yep, and then your character's dead.
And then your character's
and
dead.
You're out. And you gotta and you have to pay a fee. No, just kidding. well, that I mean, that is cool. I mean, that you can just play for so long and that, you know, I could see how it could be getting, I could see how it could get more complicated with the more people you have. So, like you said, maybe five or six, kind of that sweet spot right there. So, but yeah, I guess it just depends on your dungeon master.
Yeah, I just picture trying to do your podcast, but you've got six or seven people on your podcast and you're trying to keep like...
That would be the dream.
An orderly flow. It would be really nice, but you're gonna have people talking over each other. Some people aren't gonna be as involved.
Yeah, that is true.
You could get, you know, six people.
I do know six people, and I, you know, I've always wanted to do it. I've wanted to do like a video podcast over something, and have at least like five or six people on it, and then just literally have a blast. Of course, that would totally be like 5 hours long, probably. So, but whatever. So one day, like a season five or six finale or something. I mean, I'm on season three, so it'll give me a little time to do it. But but yeah, that would be crazy to kind of manage. But it's just funny because I'm so easygoing that I'm all like, okay, so I'm gonna comment what you or I'm gonna respond to what you said, but then also put us back on track. So maybe I'm just good at that. I don't know, but
I'm gotta be a synergy.
Yeah, but I'm also bad about getting people off track as well. So
that's good. I think that's the point of podcasts, isn't it? Though?
Yeah, something pops into my mind, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about this or whatever. So, so of course, I kind of mentioned this to you before we started to record, you know, kind of prep you a little bit. And you said it was a bougie thing to do, but how is technology getting involved in D&D? I mean, so when it comes to the board of D&D, I'm a very basic person, so I don't really know a lot, but when it comes down to the board game or like the board itself, or the table or whatever you call it, or the world, you pretty much just have dice and a piece of paper that have your stats on it, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have like little figures or stuff.
No, you do. Yeah, it's it can be, again, it is anything that you want it to be, even coming down to the technology aspect. We've got the old school guys, and then I have second grader handwriting, so I can't physically have a sheet of paper, because if I look at it, I won't be able to tell what I've got, right? So you're constantly adjusting and changing your inventory. So if I'm looking down at it, it's like, you've got a silver sword, and I look down, I'm like, I don't know why I have a swordfish in my inventory, but I'm gonna use it, I guess. So I can't keep track of any of that. So I do all of mine. I have a Surface that I bought that I keep track on and everything on. But one guy just has like six pages of notes that he writes down every session.
What's a Surface? Like an iPad or like
a Chromebook?
Oh, well, I'd say that is kind of interesting, because you can have like tablets or something that you can write down, whichever, even just your phone. You know, you can write that down too.
One guy uses his phone. One guy writes it down. I've got the Surface. The DM has a Chromebook, and he writes stuff down. He does kind of a mix. But, I mean, like, we talked a little bit before we got going here, but there are people that have, like, full-on interactive tables. Yeah. We're not that that fancy. We just use a squared off map. So typically in D&D, it's a square grid, and each square represents 5 feet. So you've got like how far you can move, and then you each have your own figurines that you can pick out. You can customize them online. It's really cool. I won't get into all the monotony of that, but yeah, we do figurines, and we do just a sheet of paper, or not a sheet. We do a grid map that the DM just does erasable Sharpie on. Now, when things get a little bit more intense, like we did Curse of Strahd, the last area that you go is Strahd's castle, and it's got like 100 rooms on it. So instead of drawing up all the rooms, they've got pre-printed maps that you could do. I've been getting advertisements on YouTube all the time for like pre-designed maps that you can make. So you type in like, I want a library room, and it'll actually like AI generate a library room for you, and then you can kind of customize what goes into that. There's Roll20 or Tabletop Sim or something like that online, which is just it's a Steam game. So you can go on there, and it's got everything you could ever want to play, but it's also got Dungeons and Dragons on it, where you can customize maps how you want them to look. Like if you wanted to run an online campaign, if you and I wanted to play and we didn't live 5 feet from each other, if you moved across the country, then we could play a session just online using those dev maps.
That's cool. I guess I didn't realize that there was gridded and everything. I guess it just depended on the game, but that would make sense why they would have those TVs now, and then you can like just stick your figure on there, and then you can change it to whatever you want to change it to, almost like a gigantic tablet where you just like swipe and it changes the thing or whatever. I think I went to the local game store, and they have like a little D&D section, and they have one of those TVs on the table and stuff. So that's pretty cool that they're able to do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Typically our DM for role playing. So you've got your RP and you've got your combat. So for role playing, he'll just be like, you're in a tavern. This is what's in the tavern. Have at it. But then when we get into actual fights, it's like, okay, here's the map of what the fight looks like. Here's where everyone is positioned. So that way you can kind of see live movement.
Nice. Well, that's cool. Any other thoughts on just the game itself before we move on to the next topic? We covered it pretty well, I feel like. I mean, that was pretty dang good. Did I miss anything?
We've done pretty good. What character would you make if you decided? What would you want to play?
I don't know. I'd have to like see the options, you know? I mean, yeah, I feel like I lean more towards wizards and people who can, you know, cast magic and stuff like that. But I don't know. Sometimes I just like to mix it up a little bit. But I feel like I lean more towards magic wielders and stuff like that, just because sometimes I feel like I need to self heal, and then usually a wizard can do that without it carrying items with them. So I feel like items are just a waste of time. It's all like, I don't want these items. I want to do everything myself. So I would say wizard.
Like a nice cleric or a wizard or something that suits you.
That's, I know, good. Right?
The That's helpful a... guy. You're a pretty helpful guy. Yeah. I could see.
I mean, I wouldn't heal anybody else. They're like, heal me. He's like, you got potions. You heal yourself. He'd have a Brooklyn accent too, I guess.
It just, I got a deep Southern accent for this one, so I'm pretty excited about all of that.
Gosh, I can imagine. So, of course, we know the strange history of D&D, you know, when it came out, I think it was like in the 60s or something like that. Everyone thought that it was like demonic and witchcraft, and it was going to ruin all the children of the world. You want to tell your thoughts on that a little bit?
Yeah. So, I mean, they weren't super far off on any of that. So every day, or every Tuesday when we play, we go in and it's choose off as soon as you enter the door. And then you've got to step in the pentagram and you've got to recite the Latin. No, it's, I get it and I don't get it. I get why people are upset and offended by it, but at the same time, it doesn't make sense to me because there's demons and there's magic. And I mean, especially in the, what year did it come out? It was the 70s.
Was it the 70s?
It was, yeah.
So that's
1974.
Oh, 74. So close to the 60s.
A different and strange time, the 70s. I wasn't there, but that's what the people tell me. It was acquired by Hasbro in 1997, so it's a lot more family friendly now.
Oh,
so
yeah,
what happened
Hasbro,
was,
yeah,
it was very demonically oriented, and then Hasbro took it over, and then they were like, "This is for kids now." I don't know if that's true. I just made all of that up, suckers. Have you ever played like Scrabble or Boggle for kids? Just D&D for kids.
D&D for kids. They have like a kids section on their website and everything. Yeah, I mean, what? It's a game, you know. I mean, but I think what really got people obviously is the witchcraft, is the demonic, you know, satanic, whatever, you know, stuff like that, and you know, being a different person than you are, witchcraft and everything. You know, we even saw a glimpse of what it was like. Did you see Stranger Things?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of like, you know, we kind of saw the, I mean, especially in the latest season, we saw a lot of that too, how people felt about it and how people were all like, there needs to not be this thing here and stuff like that. But
that's, I love horrible jokes. The worse a joke is, and I'm not talking inappropriate, like the worse a joke is, the funnier that I think it is. So Vecna is a real Dungeons & Dragons character from Stranger Things, but that is all pulled directly from the game. And so we got to talking the other day about like some of the more prominent BBEGs, and somebody brought up Vecna, and I was like, oh yeah, that's the dude from Hunger Games. And the daggers, the absolute
Hunger
daggers
Games.
That were staring at me. Or did I say Hunger Games?
Stranger Things.
It's the same show. Yeah.
Hunger Games. That's the guy from Hunger Games.
Vecna.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. Well, obviously every villain or bad creature, whatever, is from Dungeons and Dragons, from Stranger Things, right?
Yeah, Demogorgons, Vecna, God, who else is there? It's been so long since I've watched it.
Oh, there's a bunch.
There was a couple others.
There was a
too,
couple
yeah.
things,
oh, yeah.
but
yeah, but it's
the
all...
Mind Flayer.
Yep.
Yeah, stuff like that. But yeah, you kind of saw a glimpse in there how society really focused on it. I mean, I feel like they always have something to complain about, because even when you know, they always feel like there's something out there that's going to ruin all the children. And I mean, even Harry Potter had that.
That's exactly what I was going to say too. Like, look at what they're saying about Harry Potter. I don't know. How many conversations did you have with people that we went to school with? I was like, oh,
so
no, my parents won't let, they won't let me do that. They
yeah.
won't let me do that.
I mean, it's, like, it is funny because I mean, my dad's a pastor and he read Harry Potter to us at, you know, as a bedtime story. And then I'm going to, you know, talk to other people about it. And they're like, oh, I've never seen it. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, we weren't allowed to be involved in it or read it or whatever because of witchcraft. And I'm all like, oh, I'm sorry? But yeah, I mean, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. But I mean, I guess, I've kind of talked about this with some people. And, you know, usually when it comes down to it, you know, nothing against their parents. I mean, they did what they thought was best in that moment. I mean, you can't, whatever. But you know, it was just mainly because their witchcraft. They didn't want to learn about witchcraft, and you know, it's funny because it's not even like a bad witchcraft. Like, it's not like they were sacrificing and stuff like that. It was just literally there's bad wizards and there's good wizards. But, you know, there wasn't any, like, crazy, like, awkward stuff. But but there was death and stuff. But, I mean, to each their own. No complaints
that's what
there.
I do whatever you want. I don't care. If that's your belief system and that's what you were raised doing, amazing. Good for you. I was raised differently.
Me too. Yeah.
We can have
yeah. It's interesting how they also go after the forms of, like, they go off for, they go after forms of entertainment, like D&D, like board games or books or TV shows or, you know, stuff that is a form of entertainment and it's not real. But yet they don't go after stuff that could actually ruin a child. You know, like a bunch of stuff that I can't say on a podcast, or at least not on my podcast because I have rules. But like, I mean, like they don't go after that stuff the way that they go after this fictional thing that is not real. So you have thoughts on it.
I do. I have lots of thoughts on it. How many can I say? I don't know.
You can say all of them if you want. Yeah.
No, I don't. Like I said, I think it's cool. Like that, you were raised in a different house and a different belief system, and that's totally your prerogative to do and believe and think whatever you want. I don't get upset about it. I think it creates good conversation. I think it's interesting to see people's perspective, and I think everyone is different. Everyone is different, and we can't pigeonhole ourselves into one universal babble, you know? So like, you, what you think and do and believe is a lot different than what I think and do and believe, and we agree on a lot, we don't agree on a lot, and I don't think there's any issue that comes out of it until people start telling you that you're no longer allowed to enjoy the things that you like, because it is not what they come from, you know? You can't, if you're gonna go here, you can't watch Harry Potter because that's against everything that we believe in. It's a little far for me, but if that's what you believe, that's cool.
Yeah,
I like it. Tell me about it. Let me learn why you think and feel that way, so that way I understand more. I was a big proponent. I don't know if you know this or not, but I was a big proponent in college of trying anything once, because my opinion was, if it was not bad, then I could tell people it wasn't bad. And if it was horrible, then I could tell people it was horrible. Be like, you know, it's one of those, like, you should try that. That was awesome. Or I made a mistake.
It's I recommend not doing that.
I wouldn't do that one.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you are 100% right. I can't really say anything, you know, to piggyback off of that, because there's not much more to say. But I asked my dad about this, you know, I think it was after college or in college, I don't even remember, but I was like, Dad, you know, why did you let me, why did you let me experience Harry Potter at a young age? And why did you not only, you know, show me it, but actively like, like read it to me, and we read the books, he grew up, we watched the movies and yada yada yada, like he enjoyed it, and so he wanted us to enjoy it, and he was like, because it's a story about good and evil. And I was like, what? He's like, it's a story about good and evil, it's like good conquers evil. And I was like, yeah, but what about all the witchcraft and everything? He's like, which, what? He was just so flabbergasted, which is just so funny, because, you know, he was an English major, or he's a big English person, and so like he's like, it's a good story, it's very well written, and it's a story about, you know, good and evil, and good conquering evil, you know, all the witchcraft is just mumbo jumbo that's in there, but at the base, you know, there's real themes in there that are important to know and important to realize. So it was interesting, but anyway, sidetracked. But yeah, it is interesting to see just how. I mean, I don't think D&D is like that nowadays. I don't think people have that. And maybe Hasbro has something to do with that.
That's because Hasbro saved.
Yeah. Thank you, Hasbro. Yeah.
I think it is and it isn't. Still, I think there's always gonna be people who use goods and services for nefarious purposes, and there's gonna be people who play D&D and can't take it seriously, like some people that
just
I
like
know.
Everyone, you know, just like everything in this world, some people, just like you said, some people do stupid stuff, some people just do stupid stuff.
Just like, and if we're gonna start appeasing those people and gonna start being real picky and choosy about everything, we wouldn't have anything left. All media would be gone, all games would be gone, music would all be gone.
What would the world be like?
We would just sit here in silence, which I'm okay with that too. Yeah, I'll sit here in silence forever. That's fine.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I like silence. I'm comfortable in the silence. I'm all like, some people aren't. Anyway,
yeah.
Well, any last thoughts before we wrap this up here? Or...
Oh, do I have any last thoughts?
Yeah, last thoughts before I do the outro and leave.
I've got a bunch of thoughts. Where are you going?
I don't know. I'm just ending the show. Oh, the show's over.
I thought maybe you were going out somewhere.
No, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I'm just here. I'm just here chilling.
I don't know. What do I do? Do I say something motivational about it?
No, I mean,
if you, whether you want to worship Satan or whether you want to have a good time.
No, that's not.
Is that not what we were going for?
No, that's not what I want. I'm revoking your last thoughts. You know, out of three episodes or out of three seasons, I've never revoked someone's last thoughts. But your last thoughts are revoked.
I'll take it. I need a prize for that one. I need a trophy.
Oh my gosh, you're ridiculous. Oh my gosh. Well, I have never played D&D, and honestly, I really want to give it a try. It seems really fun and a game that I could really enjoy. That is all it is. It's a game. It's a game. And even though it might be an escape from this, you know, it might be an escape from a crazy life that someone lives, if you've played and enjoyed this game, then it's great. And if you haven't played and you want to, I'm in the same boat with you. I really want to give it a try. So thanks for being on the show, Blake. Really appreciate it.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on the show. Also really appreciate it.
Well, of course. Thanks for being here. Maybe we can do this again soon on another topic that suits your fancy.
Yeah, I love fancy suits. Let's make it happen.
Alrighty, and thank you for listening, you listeners out there. Shows come out every 2 weeks on Thursday. Follow me on Facebook and go to YouTube and like and subscribe there. So thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. And remember, you don't care.